Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. Today we're talking about careers, and we're looking at how do we have great careers. I'm going to go back to the beginning for me. I didn't even think of a career. I can tell you the first time somebody asked me what I wanted to do in my career. I grew up in a town where we had a doctor, we had firemen, policemen, and everybody had jobs. They had jobs at the bank, they had jobs at the telephone company, they had jobs, and a few of them had started their own factories. They had jobs pouring concrete, they had jobs selling Okite industrial cleaning, and everybody had jobs. And one day I'm in one of my first jobs, and one of the guys says to me, "What are you thinking about for your career?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Bob, we need to sit down and talk." And I had two memorable moments when people filled me in that a career was a conscious path into the world of work, a conscious path that most people think is supposed to be predetermined. I'm going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief. And that's okay for those people that know what they want to do. But what about the rest of us who just think life is about getting a job? Doesn't matter. Career is the path you're going to follow, but it doesn't have to be drawn out ahead of time. And I let me tell you what we found in our research from our book, Transform, The Science of Spectacular Living. By the way, we'd love to have you go to our page, www.rightliving.com/2freechapters. We'd love to have you pick up two of those free chapters. But we've studied people that have great lives. I've been coaching people into great careers and great lives for over 40 years. I've had one of the greatest careers of anybody I know. Certainly one of the most fulfilling. Now, what is it? It has nothing to do with what you do. It has to do with how you do it. Everybody's nowadays going to get the right degree. They get their MBA from Wharton, their MBA from Harvard, University of Chicago, Northwestern, Stanford. You know, they've all got to get a great MBA or the JD or the PhD or whatever they're going to get. They get in the job they thought they should have had, and then they come to us. And they say, "We got it all. We've got two kids. I got a great wife, great husband. We've got our house, and we've got our jobs, and we've got our money, and that's not it." Well, it's good that they discover that. It's good that they had the discipline to get those things. It puts them ahead in some ways. Then there are the ones that come to us and they say, "Oh, you know, I got my MD, but my dad wanted me to do it, and I hate it. Or I got my JD, and the family wanted me to be an attorney, and I hate it." They are lucky, too, because they've got something to build on. They think that they're going to find satisfaction in another career. They don't understand the first law of great careers, which is happy people are happy people. If you want to have a great career, be a great person, first and foremost. Be a great person. Be a great person. Be a trustworthy person. Be a person that other people can count on, and you will get more and more responsibility, and you will find that even if you're in a job you don't like, as you become the person you want yourself to be, that job will either conform to you or it'll eject you. Because becoming the person you want to be is a more truthful person. And so you'll start saying things. The company will either listen to you or they won't listen to you and they'll eject you. Or somebody else will realize you're really a cool person who has the courage to say what's hard to say, and they're going to pluck you right out of that environment and put you in another environment. Oh, so let's say you're looking for your first job. I said it doesn't matter where it is. That's not totally true. When you're looking for a job, Your choice is to be a buyer or a seller. Very important to go in as a buyer. If you go in as a seller, you start trying to sell people on you. As a buyer, you start looking at the people you're interviewing with. You start asking intelligent questions about that environment, how they develop their people, what kind of opportunities are there going to be for you. You want to find a fertile environment in which to develop. Now, you can develop in any environment. You could develop in prison. You could develop in a concentration camp. It's all about whether you follow the process of evaluating, whether you're in touch with your deeper yearning, whether you engage, whether you learn, whether you experiment, whether you grow and transform and dedicate to being your most spectacular self. So, careers, I had jobs. I now have a fantastic career, wasn't planned, couldn't have been envisioned, and by the way, that's what most people who have amazing careers will tell you, that they never could have imagined doing what they're doing. So let's talk careers, whether you're coming into your first job, whether you're switching careers, whether you're looking at a career in post-retirement. Doesn't matter. We're all learning and growing. And you're on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, and let's check in. Our first caller is Jack. So, Jack.
Yeah, hello.
Jack, hey, thanks for calling in, Jack. I see that you're saying, how do you consistently stay focused at work? Would you tell me about that?
Sure. It's just... I guess it's just a matter of, especially in my particular role, having a lot of different tasks that I have to keep up on, but the deadlines are fairly loose, and so and a lot of them are even self-created deadlines, and so it's really easy to get distracted by a coworker or even just some random thought, you know, and you come to work and you want to give. You want to feel like you earned your paycheck at the end of the day. But
yep.
At the same time, there's a lot of distractions. So, you know, some days I leave work and I feel like unquestionably I earned my paycheck, and some days I leave and I'm wondering, just trying to be honest with myself, did I or didn't I? And focus seems to be the key to me anyway. Sometimes I can be really focused, and of course I'm accomplishing a lot. Other times I'm not.
You know, Jack, that is a fantastic concern, because there are a lot of studies nowadays showing, they call it presenteeism. People are there in body, but they're not really doing the job. Even in the best companies, people figure that there's 50 to 60% productivity, depending on the study that you're looking at. So you're bringing up a problem that a lot of other people have, but you're a lot different because you're telling the truth about it. So Jack... You said a lot of your deadlines are self-imposed.
Right.
Do you really keep those deadlines? Do you meet them?
Probably, certainly more than 50% of the time, but not always, because, you know, I grant myself extensions.
Yep, that's really kind of the problem, isn't it? Is when we grant ourselves extensions, we don't push to get something done. And when we don't push to get it done, there's a little bit of aliveness we lose. We let our deadness take over, and we get into routine, and it actually keeps our job from being less exciting and less invigorating.
I would agree with that.
Cool. So do you ever tell people about your deadlines and ask them to help keep you, focused on them?
When I have, that has actually worked really well, but those are always tasks that I'm sharing with other people, but not all of the things that I'm doing are, you know, co-responsibilities. So if I have to engage with somebody else on it, I generally do, and that's, I guess, specifically to keep me focused and them, but not for the stuff that I'm solely in control of.
You know, that's really... such a common situation for people, Jack. And one of the other elements of success in life and career is the people we hang around with. And if you're hanging around people who are highly motivated, who are self-motivated, who set their own goals, set their own careers, you're more likely to pick up the habits that they have. So one of the ways that we handle that is we have career labs. And in our career labs, people can either be looking at doing better in the job they're in, or they can look at getting a new job. But it's all about really performing and loving your life and loving your work. So one of the other options for you is to have some other people that are playing the game of maximizing their productivity with you. Do you have such a group now, I'm wondering?
No, not particularly.
Well, I would start looking for that. We find in our year of transformation that just being in the year of transformation after people do our Transform Training weekend, that being with other people who are going for it fully in life tends to be energizing and cause people to start setting their own deadlines and their own agendas. And there, I'm going to tell you another secret for how to do this that you're probably going to not want to hear about, but you can always put money on your deadlines and get somebody. Yeah, you can get somebody to coach you. And when we have had people that really needed to break out of bad habits, we've had them put up to $500 on a performance goal, and they write the check out ahead of time to a group that they least want the money to go to. Some of them are very conservative, and they write it out to the Democratic Party. Some of them are very liberal, and they write it out to the Ku Klux Klan, the John Birch Society, God knows what else they write it out to. So you can't want the money to go somewhere you want it to go. It's got to be written out to some place you do not want it to go that's going to cause you to be willing to push and do the all-nighter or whatever you need to do to get it done.
Sure. That's powerful.
The other part of that, Jack, is in planning, is maybe you're running into not planning well. One of the most interesting things I ever had anybody tell me in a seminar I was attending was that when you set a deadline, you double the units and go to the next unit up. So if you think it's going to take you an hour, you schedule it for 2 hours, and then you go the next unit up, which means you schedule it for 2 days. And given the complexity of some people's jobs, that's going to increase the likelihood that you meet the goal. And if you don't, if you haven't planned, then your mind starts coming in with all the excuses we call stinking thinking about why you don't have to do that one, and all this other stuff came up, and all your excuses come up. But if you've set the deadline with that level of thought, then the excuses should disappear.
Right.
So does that help you, Jack?
Yeah, definitely. You've given me some really good things to consider. I especially like writing a check out to an organization I wouldn't want the money to go to, because that would definitely be in the back of my mind the entire time.
And then you have to give that check to someone you trust to not buckle under to your cajoling them.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Come on back on the show. We're going to be having Career Wednesdays every third Wednesday of every month from now on. So check it out. Send me an email, drbob@writelivingwrightliving.com. So let me know how it goes. I really appreciate you calling in, Jack.
Thanks, Dr. Bob.
Thanks. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Well, thanks. So this is so much. You know, we just want to push stuff off. We want the excuse. We don't want to have to get up late. And it's so often that fear is what really gets us to do stuff. And once we accept that fear gets us to do stuff, we set the conditions up which evoke our fear. And guess what? When we're doing what we want to do with a little additional fear, we're more alive. And January is aliveness month. So check out my blog and my Facebook page and my Twitter account. The blog is www.rightliving.com/blog. And then I don't know my Twitter offhand. And my Facebook is Dr. Bob Wright at Facebook. What we're doing is we're taking a different idea as an assignment every month. And this is the month of aliveness. And this is going to be the year of bringing out our best. So check it out. You check out my vlog where I talk on the video about how I got my day going yesterday and how I'm using aliveness to get me going, and write in how you're using it. We've got all kinds of fantastic experiments going on that people tell me about in the halls, they tell me about in seminars, but they're not writing it in on Facebook. They're not writing into the blog. We've got to share with each other, because you never know that your way of using aliveness to get yourself up happier in the morning, to get you more alive and starting out faster at work, to get you moving on a deadline faster, to get you telling somebody something you wouldn't have told them. So play the aliveness game with us this month and share with others, because you never know what you're going to add to them. And so you're on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, and our next caller is Jessie. She says, how do I tell the truth while doing business? How do I stay positive with clients and get what I want? So tell us about that, Jessie.
Can you hear me, Bob?
Got you loud and clear.
Can you hear me, Bob?
Got you loud
Hello?
And clear.
Awesome.
You're here.
Yeah, awesome. well, positive regards, I guess, is what I really always want. I mean, I want people to tell the truth. So how do I evoke people telling me the truth and keeping a really energetic aliveness with it?
Well, that's really important. Tell me about why you imagine that business would require anything but the truth.
Say that again?
Why we would want to tell anything but the truth in business? Because, you know, we all lie. The research says
right.
We all lie. The only question is how much and how big.
Yeah. It'll get me to where I want to be faster if I tell the truth.
Well, and sometimes it's going to include telling uncomfortable truths, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's really where the question's coming from, isn't it? And in a lot of environments, people don't want the truth. As a matter of fact, they'll punish you for the truth. But do you really want to be in those environments?
Yes, that's what I – yeah, okay. I don't want to be in those environments, but
– yeah, so let them kick you out.
Okay.
You know, because it's not really you they're accepting. If somebody seems to accept me because of a deception or a lie, was it really me they were accepting?
No.
So sooner or later, I'm going to feel terrible being there. So I start out with the truth. Now, you ask another question. How do I stay positive with clients and get what I want? Now, that's a really great question. Tell me where you're coming from with it.
So I'm coming from with that. I'm an artist. I sell my artwork, and I have, for example, like I set prices, and I want to make more of a living doing so. And for say being really really positive with what I want in that regards of like enjoying what I'm doing and loving my mission with my artwork, allowing, I guess I feel really jumbled with the question at the moment.
Well, but hang on, let's face it. Art is an incredibly vulnerable business, because some people are going to really love what you do and other people are going to look down their nose. And when they look down their nose at your art, it feels like they're looking down their nose at you, and it really hurts.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is how do I keep my hope up, myself open and available, at the same time knowing that some people are going to just look down their nose at my artwork. They're not going to like it at all. And so that's going to require a different orientation. So there's really two things going on there, aren't there? One is the quality of your contact with them. Can they like you and not like their art, your art?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I feel that they can love me and not like my art, and like my art and maybe not like me.
Yep. Let's take the first two, though. So the first order of business is that you establish high rapport with them, that they feel that you're interested in them and you're not just selling art, because everybody wants to be cared about. So what, if I were in your business, I'd ask people what kind of art they like. And I'd look to start understanding, you know, do they like classical art? Do they like figurative art? Do they like modern art? Do they like three-dimensional art? You know, what kind of art do they like? And do they buy art? Now, I assume you're selling to individuals and to galleries and to companies and things?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, I... Go ahead.
Are you also trying to sell commissioned art where they'll commission you to do something?
Yeah, I'm kind of getting in between that and knowing where my limits are and kind of going past those limits with commission pieces. So that's a challenge, a fun challenge. So a little bit of both. I have businesses like contacting me as well, and that feels really good.
Yep. Do you have a sales discipline where you contact X number of people every day?
I would say no.
Let me tell you why I'm asking you that question. Because if I only have one potential sale every 3 days, that sale gets really important to me. And my chances of feeling disappointed and hurt are much higher. But if I had talked to three different potential customers a day, then each one of them is not going to evoke as much of what we call scarcity in me. And if I have five a day, I'll be able to roll past the hurt and the rejection faster, and the more hurt and rejection I have, the stronger I get.
Got it. Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
It feels a little better.
So let's look at it as building up your muscle of being on your own side. There's a
building
guy named Snarch. Pardon me?
Go ahead.
Snarch calls it self-validated intimacy. So you want to be able to be present to people who will immediately turn their nose up and hate your art. We'll know that you have really grown when you are so much on your own side, you can laugh a little, giggle a little when somebody says, oh, and then you'll say, well, tell me what you hate about that. I really want to understand. And you can listen to them and be interested in them, and you are still validating yourself. So this is a goal we're going to have you moving towards as you see more and more people, show your art to more and more people, get yourself rejected more and more, learn to be on your own side more and more, learn to validate yourself more and more, and that will cause you to really be able to appreciate the people while wanting their appreciation but not being dependent on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I had a motto when I was younger that really worked, but I feel like it didn't have as much care as what you're saying that I'm putting into people.
Okay.
So that sounds really great. I, I'm I guess what I said is I'd rather have it up than not up at all. And I would, you know, and if they hate it, they hate it. If they like it, they like it, kind of motto that I would have for myself in my early 20s. And it worked.
Yeah.
I got shit done. And I'm wondering where I kind of fell off a little bit.
Well, as an artist, you run into the same issues that Jack was talking about earlier. And it really is also, I talked about your sales discipline. Artists also need an art discipline. Do you have a number of hours a day that you paint or do your art, whatever it is?
Yeah, I have about five. I want to give myself 5 to 6 hours, give or take, with drawing, painting, concepts, looking up different artists to check out and get inspired by. So I've set some goals in that way, and have gone for it, and I feel it's been working for me in that way.
Are you independently wealthy?
No.
I think 3 hours a day of art and the remainder of the day of sales would be great. Until you're getting enough commissions so that you are able to really focus on the research behind a commission and all those other things. In the meantime, the job is produce the product, sell the product, have fun producing the product, sell the product, discipline production of product, sell the product. And then you'll also be building up enough product to do just great shows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jesse, I don't think I'm making a sale here.
Oh, you don't think I'm being sold? I'm sorry. I'm writing all this down because it's really good.
Okay.
I don't want to miss it. I'm like reading. I'm like writing it down, and I'm like, okay. Okay. 3 hours, 3 sales, discipline, and I guess maybe I'm not as present with you as you'd like me to be.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Obviously, I wasn't fully self-validated, and I appreciate it now. But this is fantastic. And I really would like you to check in, because developing these disciplines without a coach is very difficult. So at the very least, get one of our activity coaches to work with you. And, you know, given that I have seen your art, I think it's delightful. I think it's got to get out in the world, and it has to find its audience. It is art that deserves an audience.
Thank you, Bob.
So I'm on your side. Go get them.
Feels good. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right.
I mean, thank you so much. Jesse's so beautiful here because, you know, this is a career is vulnerable. If I'm really going to be me, I have to risk me. I don't care if I'm working behind the counter at a deli or behind the counter at Starbucks, or I don't care if I'm an engineer. We interact with people, and will we fully be ourselves? Will we admit how much we want people to see us and to know us and to like us? And then if Jesse puts on top of that having people like her art, she's got a major challenge, and it'll bring out her best. And you're on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. And our next caller is Jean. She says, how do I start up a new private practice while making the switch from traditional counseling to life coaching? Hi, Jean. Tell me about it. Okay, I think we lost our caller. So we'll try and get Jean back. And in the meantime, I'm actually going to answer her question a little bit and assume that she can get back on while we're going at it. I have no clue what that means. Okay, our fourth caller is Michael, and he's on. How do I... I'm going to keep going on Gene's question, and it was just fine where I was going. I want to talk about this because, you know, the whole game to life coaching is serving people. Everybody you talk to is a potential client. Now, I don't always do it to try and because I'm too expensive. But everybody has dreams. And the best thing you can do, Gene, is to ask people what their dreams are, start helping them realize it. Sometimes their dream requires they get back to college, and you can ask them if they'd like you to coach them back into college and to be successful as a student. Sometimes their dream is that they want to be able to buy a new kind of car. Sometimes their dream is they want to be able to buy a house. And these are all things that I've helped people do, help them start a business. So life coaching is such a cool, cool discipline because everyone you meet and talk to is a potential client because everybody's got a dream. And the trick is, because I know you make friends fast, I know you talk to people fast, I know you're a people person. You need to be a more intentional people person. You need, if you write out your mission statement, like our mission is to help people bring out their best for the advancement of humanity and sustainable living on the planet. And we believe that if every human being is living their best life, that humanity as a whole will be healthier, will have more sustainable living, just as in our bodies. If every cell in our body is healthy and getting the nourishment it needs and it's happy, and it's going to lead to us having this happy, well-being body. So that's our mission statement. Get your mission statement down. I'm sure it's about helping people fulfill their potential, realize their dreams, whatever it is. And go about that with everyone, And then if they confide in you as they give themselves over to you, say, you know, I coach people in realizing these dreams. Would you like to have an exploratory session? If you're interested in possibly coaching down the road, come on in. Let's have a half hour, 45 minute, hour session. We'll look at what it is you want, and we'll see if the price of coaching is worth realizing those dreams of yours. So do we have Gene on now? Hey, Gene.
Yes. Hi, Bob.
Have you been
thank
hearing
you for taking,
Gene? Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, did you hear what I was saying? I went ahead and started answering the question they gave me.
Yes.
Okay. How do you relate
definitely.
To that?
Well, I do. I think it's very valuable information.
And I think one of the best things you can do is have your mission on the back of your card. And so whatever your mission is, whether you think that you are the person who holds their dreams, who helps them realize their dreams, helps them fulfill their goals, whatever way you do it, you want to have something, you know, inspirational and uplifting on your card, and you just want to start serving everyone. I've got our doorman at where our condo is. I started talking to him, and he was terrified and wanted to go back to school. He's now in his second year of college and feeling solid about himself and doing great. One of the guys that used to park our car coached him into buying a house with minimal money down. He bought a three flat. You know, the whole world has dreams. And so all you have to do is become their dream realizer.
Wonderful.
So I wish you luck, and I'm sure that you're going to do great with it.
Thank you so much.
So anything else I can do for you?
Well, I think was wanting to ask you also about tips in getting a practice rolling. And I agree, the mission statement is very important. Absolutely.
Well, you know, we tend to feel more comfortable with a brochure, but you don't really need a brochure. The only thing you really need is for people to pay for your time. And I know coaches that have gotten their business going in a Starbucks, in a hotel lobby, and just about anywhere. A lot of people want to have an office and they want to feel established. That's fine. But if you're really helping people realize their dreams and fulfill their goals, then I would just get going with it. And I wouldn't worry about the office. I wouldn't worry about the brochure. What I'd focus on is supporting people and charging a good deal for it. Usually, it's easier to start with a lower fee and then get yourself full. So, for example, when I started, I charged $7.50 to $15 a session for an hour.
Wow.
And now it's over $600 an hour, $500 for 45 minutes. And there are a lot of you've got to find what you can say, but you also want to get yourself full. And then once you're full, you start raising your rates. You start getting more and more referrals. And I had in one of my earlier coaches, he was fantastic. He only did a cost of living increase to his current clients, and he raised rates for new clients. So you'll work out how you grow the practice, and you'll work it out naturally. But if you're serving people, you won't be able to go to a party. Heck, I mean, I don't go to parties much anymore. But back in the day when I was younger and getting going, I rarely left a party without at least one new client.
Wonderful. Great idea.
Yeah, that's what parties are, places where people get together. I mean, Judith, a friend of ours, Judith, I can show you people where Judith has, just in casual conversation and parties, has gotten their careers going. So I wish you all the best, and I'm sure you're going to be a great success.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Bob. I sure appreciate all these great ideas.
Thank you, Jean.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You're on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. Our fourth caller is Arde. So Arde asks, how do I go about making a career change? When is the right time to make the jump when I've got a lot on my plate right now? So Arde, talk to me.
Dr. Bob, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Very well. So, just like you just mentioned, I do have a lot on my plate. I recently got married November of last year, expecting our first girl with my wife here in February, early February. So if that's not a lot, I don't know what a lot is. So, and I'm also considering doing a career change. I've been thinking about this going on a year now. I'm currently in the IT field. As a software engineer, and but throughout my career and day to day life, I've you know, from colleagues and friends and even coworkers, you know, people always mentioned me getting myself back into the sales work field because they seem to think that I'll be more successful there. So I've always thought that in the back of my mind, but I wasn't sure on how to go about with that switch. If I was a single individual, I think it would be a lot easier to take such a risk because it's just me. But with building a family, I don't think that now is the best time to do so. But so my question for you, Dr. Bob, is when is the best time? Because I don't see my near future or my further future being a good time to make that such a drastic move.
Well, for starters, let me just get clear on one thing you said, and then I'll get back to it. Did you say get back into the sales field?
That's correct.
So you've got experience in what field?
Well, I worked for online university, and as far as we were concerned at the time, that was a sales career. What we did then was pretty much to talk with prospective students. This was many years ago, in regards to going back to school and furthering their education online.
Okay, so you have sales experience already.
Correct.
Now, so what I would want to know is there any way where you're working they would support you, and have you told them you want the challenge and stimulation of sales to see what they can do to help you get into that?
I strongly doubt it. It's something I would be honestly afraid to do.
So, okay, that's interesting. Right there it says that this isn't an environment that's really interested in you.
I don't want to go on a limb and say that, but I think you're on the right track.
Okay, Artie. Now, there's given that the family thing is going on, I don't always suggest this, but why don't you start shopping some of the pyramid, or the different kinds of sales where you could do it on the side and build up to a good business? I would look at the different ones like Shackley and the ones where people have been very successful. You could build it up. You could do it with your wife. And once you were making enough money, then you would be able to transition out. Or you may find that you really like doing the sales and what you're doing, or you'll feel secure enough with the side business, with the the consumer, direct-to-consumer sales, and that you like having that security and you want to get a different tech job. So first of all, I'm always big on growing where you are and asking them what the opportunity is. If you don't want to ask them about sales, ask them where they see your career going. And then if I were in your situation, I would seriously look at some of these other sales programs where you can sell product directly, you can get people under you selling product, they can get people under them selling product, and if you're good at it, you can really build up a very substantial business that gives you freedom to continue that or to shift careers and continue putting food in your baby's mouth.
Absolutely, and Dr. Bob, those are outstanding suggestions, and I've actually thought about the pyramid. The only thing holding me back at this point is I'm also currently in school, getting my master's degree in communication, and I am to graduate, hopefully, this August from Northwestern University. So my plan was at that time I would have some free time to delegate to, obviously pursuing this other career here. But yes, I think those are valid suggestions. I really appreciate that.
Well, and pick the right product, and guess what? You can sell it to a lot of students in the meantime easily, just as you go to class. By the way, so it looks like you're going to use that master's degree to also look for different jobs.
Absolutely correct. And going into communication is something I have a passion for, and I figured that it kind of falls right in line with a sales career as well. So yes, that's correct.
Well, that's fantastic. I wish you all the best, Artie.
Thank you, sir.
Take care, and good luck on the degree, too, and the baby, and a wonderful future ahead of you. So we're talking about career, creating success in 2014. This is the third Wednesday. It's going to be Career Wednesday. This is the month of aliveness. Read my blog on aliveness, rightliving.com/blog. Get on my Facebook. Start looking at this aliveness. Facebook.com/drbobwright, drbobwright, and check me out at Twitter at drbobwright, and really join us. Learn to bring aliveness into every moment of your life. Use aliveness as a prompt to keep you engaging, expressing, going for it, stretching. Jack can use it to keep himself going. Jesse can use it to get herself out in the world. Jean can use it to keep herself going. Arde can use it to keep himself going. So I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. We're bringing out the best, and it's the third Wednesday, Career Wednesday, and our fifth caller is Olga. She wants to be the best at what she does. How do I make sure my coworkers see me for my strengths? How do I find support in my weaknesses, and how do I make friends with them at the same time? Fantastic set of questions. Tell us about it, Olga.
Hi, Bob. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, great. Okay. I recently joined the company where I work for, and it's a big, big company. I really like my colleagues, and they invite me to, you know, to bring it, to kind of share my perspective. They want to know what's going on with me. And I really like that. I really like the environment where I'm in. But as you said at the very beginning, you know, kind of find the environment where you are and let it be a fertilizer or let it eject you. When you said that, I found myself being scared of being ejected because I really like the environment where I'm in. I really like my colleagues, and I'm scared of bringing too much.
Well, my guess is this isn't the first time in your life you've been afraid of being too much. But most environments will give you feedback if they want to shut you down. You will get subtle feedback. You will get overt feedback. So my suggestion is go full out and wait until you break your nose. And when you break your nose, figure out how it happened.
Okay.
And then if they don't respect you for that, then, nuts to them.
I actually think they would.
Well,
I mean, they would
respect
me.
That's your nose. If you haven't broken your nose, you haven't gone far enough.
That is very true.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
But isn't Olga's bind so much? Are people going to like me if I really push hard, if I really work hard, if I really say what I think? The question is, do I like me enough to push hard and say what I think? Am I willing to be on my own side? Do I have the friends that will give me the hugs that will help me reorient? And that's what transformers do. That's what the people that we studied in our book, Transformed, The Science of Spectacular Living, do. And, get into it. It'll just help you bring out your best. And you can get 2 free chapters at www.rightliving.com/2freechapters. You can also pick up our Transform Training Bundle. So there's all kinds of great stuff for you there. It's www.ttbundle.com. And you're on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. Our 6th caller is David. How can I go about developing a team that I trust to run the daily operations of my company so I can focus on expanding it further? Wonderful question, David. Tell me about it. Do we have David on the line?
Hey, Bob, I'm here.
Okay. We've got a fair amount of background noise, but talk to me, David.
Okay, so at the end of last year, my company was kind of going in the shit, and we ended up having to start all over. And really the big thing was we brought on a huge team of like 18 guys, and, it just didn't work out. So this year we're back on track. We're back in kind of growth mode, and I'm trying to see how I develop a team that I can really trust that they're going to take over so that I can actually get out of the office and start doing more of the expansion work and growing the business from the outside rather than stuck with the daily, operations.
Yep. Now, so have you written job descriptions for everybody so that if you look at each of their job descriptions, it covers everything that needs to happen so you can step out?
Yeah, I mean, I've been building that over the last few weeks in terms of just analyzing everything I do on a day-to-day basis and trying to put that on paper to see kind of what all the job opportunities are. I mean, I still am in the process of having to hire people to fulfill those roles. I just historically I've had a hard time, really trusting people. I've been one of those people that, I'd rather just do the work myself because I know it's going to get done right.
Well, David, this is a great conversation. So the ancient Greeks had this when Odysseus has himself tied to the mast. We have found this very useful in leaders that need to delegate. Oftentimes, you grab stuff and it keeps your people from learning. So I want you to consider the possibility that you are tied to the mast of a ship and your people are running the ship and you can't touch a thing.
Hmm.
You can only get done through them what needs to be done. Your arms are tied, your hands are tied, your legs are tied, and you can see everything and do nothing. That is what we've needed to do to help leaders get their operations flowing without them.
Okay. So really I'm supposed to lead with what? Lead with my mouth and just kind of order it all around?
Yeah, because then they'll learn to do the things. And eventually we'll not only tie you up, we'll gag you all but an hour a day.
Yeah.
And then that hour a day you get to communicate everything that they do the rest of that day and the next day. And then you get to watch everything and go nuts.
Hmm.
But you can't do anything.
Okay.
But
really, it's really more of an observation. So just really overseeing everything is the main goal right now.
Yep.
Oversee without doing.
Without touching a darn thing.
Okay. Honestly, that brings up a lot of fear, just in the idea of just, only because historically, you know, I try it out a few times and I start catching errors and it gets really, you know, worrisome.
Well, then you're going to have to learn to analyze while you're tied up. How did the error happen? And you're going to have to coach them how to keep it from happening in the future.
Yep.
And then you're going to have to either develop them until they become who you want or bring in somebody new.
Okay. Yeah, that makes
blessings
a lot of sense.
On this. This is an exciting phase of your career.
Yep.
Keep us informed. I want to hear how you do with it.
All right, will do.
Yeah, let me know. In a month, it'll be the third Wednesday, Career Wednesday. Perfect time for us to talk about this again. You're on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. And our seventh caller is Michael. He says, how do I go back out to the marketplace and avoid any missteps? I'm afraid my current skill set will not be accurately valued. Interesting. Talk to me, Michael.
Hey, Dr. Bob.
Hey.
Yeah, I've been working in my field for about 5 to 6 years, the last year solely as an independent contractor because needing to take time off for some family issues. And I notified that this firm that I'm, you know, with the exception of one more project that we have a proposal out, that I'm not going to be taking on any more work with them. And so now I have to go back into the marketplace and sell myself. You know, I work in the field of sustainability as it relates to specifically the built environment and real estate. And I've been a generalist for the last 5-6 years. I've had a lot of different hats that I've worn, and I've had great opportunities, but never really delved too deeply into any of them simply because we would work on one phase and then we'd never get the second phase or circumstances were such. So I have very broad knowledge, but it's not incredibly deep. So I find myself in a situation where I'm a little bit out of touch with the market right now as to what's going on in my industry because of being having different concerns over the last 18 months. And also, you know, knowing that I probably need to retool a little bit. But it's just fear that I'm going to go back to the marketplace and they're going to look at my resume and say, I don't see how you bring us value.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, Michael, is that fear is always worse when we have no reality attached to it. So the first order of business, as far as I can tell, is to get out into the marketplace talking with people.
Mm-hmm.
Talking with people, but being interested in them. What challenges are they facing? And as people see that you understand their challenges, and as you do everything you can to create value for them, introducing them to people, seeing what you can do to help them, you'll find a place because you've got a wide range of skills. So any one of those skills might open a door for you. And then some places may appreciate the range of skills or they'll appreciate one area. But if you're not out there in the world facing your fears, then you're going to sit trembling behind the walls of the fort and not have any food or water in your fort. You got to get out there. You got to get out there, get some food, get some water, get some stimulation.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest there's definitely my own roadblocks to doing that, and I think I just have to find the ways to push myself to do it.
I tell you, check out our career labs, because they're great at getting you active and engaged, and they'll get you dialing the phone, they'll get you meeting people, they'll help you understand what you need to do, and stop. Don't wait until this next contract ends. You know, let the fear catch you now. Otherwise, fear is going to shut you down, and it's going to get you stuck in a hole.
Sure, sure. It makes a lot of sense.
You're ahead of the game now. Keep going.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Michael. And check back
Thank
in.
You, Dr.
Let
Bob.
Me know where it is at next Wednesday, next third Wednesday, Career Wednesday. We'll have another blog on career. And we've had a fantastic, lovely group of people. What responsibility Jack had wanting to stay focused. And Jessie was that sweet. You know, she's an artist who's going to learn about statistics and accountability and keeping herself moving. And Jane's going to just, you know, sprout like crazy because she's going to serve everybody all the time. There's always, everybody has dreams. Everybody wants something. And Michael's going to get out there. Olga's going to be herself. David is going to be tied up and let his staff gag him eventually, so he only gets to talk an hour a day. And this is just a wonderful, wonderful array of challenges for career, for Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Don't forget to pick up your two free chapters at www.rightliving.com/two-free-chapters. And this is the month of aliveness. This is the month where we're all going to work on being more alive, and we're going to share our aliveness with each other, and we're going to be bringing out our best, fulfilling our potential. And go to www.rightliving.com/blog. Check out, follow me at facebook.com/drbobwright and twitter.com/drbobwright. Join us. Join us in the Alive Tribe. We're going to be an Alive Tribe this entire year as we live this year of bringing out our best. January is about aliveness. February will be about a whole new theme. And thank you very much for listening and joining us. We're thrilled to be in life with you. Goodbye.